Today on The Breakdown, music is my sunlight, and all I need is one line, and I can tell every single MC how it's done right. That's right, we're doing a hand in reverse. It's backward time. It's like that Seinfeld episode where the marriage was in India, and you can stuff your saris in a sack. We're doing that, and it's going to be incredible. So we're going to start with the river and progress backward, and you're going to learn things that you can't believe. Also, this hand involves very famous and accomplished poker player, Kristen Foxen, and less famous and less accomplished poker player, Aram Zobian. And they are playing in a pretty big event on one of the biggest stages in the world. I mean, arguably. But let's get back to that reverse thing. That was cooler. What I have had to sing from the song from, like, backward, from the end, for the, you know, does it not count? Have I invalidated the whole premise from the beginning? You see what I'm... the breakdown? Wait. Jonathan Levy and Grant Dennison, breakdown on the...
Hey. First time, no rehearsal. I say,
wow. You really got yourself going there.
It's because I'm supposed to say breakdown the on, but I didn't do it, and that cracks me up.
Well, you obviously aren't even doing the letters backwards like you said anyway, so.
I know, but you can say the words backward.
That's not really, that's like for kids.
It also would have been Levy, Jonathan, and Dennison Grant, breakdown the on. Boy, I wish I had done that.
Well, you know, life is just a never-ending highway, and you can't get off. Sorry.
One day we will figure out how to traverse the long undulating snake known as time.
Yep.
But until then, we are forced to just stay on this railroad train.
I was going to say analyze poker hands, but you said stay on this railroad train. That's what you said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's podcast number two.
I felt like a bad, like bootleg translation of the Hunger Games or something. Where they're like on the train going to the capital, like we're on this railroad train.
Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah.
Very nice. Did you like the Hunger Games? You a big Hunger Games guy?
I wouldn't say I'm a big Hunger Games guy, but I thought the first and second movies were good.
Okay.
I thought the other movies were very bad.
Oh, you watched the other two?
I at least watched one of them, and I might have bailed like partway through
That's
the other one.
Reasonable.
It's like just fucking terrible.
It was, they were like, let's stretch this out into 4 hours and it should be an hour and a half. And it was bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I assume you did not see the new one because you are way too cool for that.
There's a new one?
Yeah.
I am cool enough that I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. Hunger Games, the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. It's about the 25th annual Hunger Games. No, the 10th annual Hunger Games, I believe. And it's young Aldous Snow, who's the bad guy president later on. It's about him and his story. It's actually quite excellent.
Well, is it?
Quite good. I won't say excellent. It's quite good. Yeah.
Okay.
It does not suck.
Well, maybe I'll see it when it's on Tubi later.
Yeah. You know.
My preferred streaming
service.
You get
Max?
No, I love Tubi.
But do you get Max?
I get Tubi and I get Crackle. That's all I got.
People like Tubi.
Do they?
Do you think they ever make the Hamlet joke?
I have Fubo. Fubo, Tubi, and Crackle are my big three.
I'm just saying people like Tubi.
Yeah, no, I get Max.
And you're trying to decide if you should get Tubi or not.
I get Max.
And you say to yourself, you do get Max.
Yeah.
Oh, so the Harry Potter, whatever, Hunger Games movie should be
it's
on
all the same shit. Wizards and shit.
Should be on there in
spells.
Like, in like a month anyway. Yeah. There are no spells. The Hunger Games is not fantasy.
Okay.
If you say sci-fi.
So. Right. Yeah. Because they would let the attractive people live in the shitty district. Sure. Yeah.
They are attractive people. And they are all in the bad district.
Yeah.
But all right, I'm not going to defend the Hunger Games. I was just starting to get into a thing, and I'm not going to do it because I'm past that now. I've grown up.
You actually, over the course of the past few minutes, I've noticed a change in you. And it feels like you're maturing in a way that I've been waiting for years. For years.
Really?
It might come too late as you're nearing the end of your life, but still, it's good to see.
At least the change that you've been waiting for isn't the end of my life. That's pretty good.
No, that's a different change that I'm waiting for.
Okay, but still, like this one too.
Yeah.
This maturing.
Yeah.
I'm now, I'm like the adult in the room of the two of us, right? Like, I'm like the proctor and you're like the gamble.
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why they named that company that, right?
Right. You're the three and I'm the M. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I come first. God damn it. That's not how I meant it. Damn you. Come on.
Yeah, well, you did it anyway. Oh, here
we are.
Be,
that would be the adult, though. The more
long-time listeners, long-time listeners can take a guess as to which number podcast of the day this is that we're recording.
What do you mean? Why do you say that? This is the same as every other one.
It's not that dissimilar, which is a testament to our ability to really go for it.
Our consistency.
Yeah.
And our ability to really go for it.
Speaking of inconsistency.
Hello.
This is a first-time suggester on this hand.
What?
DeLorn, DLORN, DeLorn. How would you say that? Or is it DeLorn? DeLorn.
DeLorn, like DeLorean, like the car that they use to travel back in time and back to the future.
Isn't there an E in DeLorean, like DeLorean?
This one doesn't. There's two E's in DeLorean.
Well, yeah, but I mean between the E and the L, or between the D and the L. There is no E between the D and the L in DeLorn.
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 Yeah, but they're just being cool.
But there's not even an apostrophe.
There's an implied E.
There's not an implied E.
There's an implied.
This is not, we're not speaking French over here. We don't imply letters. This is a good American hearty language.
Do they imply letters in French?
I don't know.
Okay, because that was new.
I just made that up.
It was good.
I'm just going anti-French. It's always a winner. Over time, it's kind of like real estate always goes up.
Yeah.
Anti-French always works in America. Always.
It's been a while since it hasn't worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird because their food is so wonderful.
Yeah, but they're all like, eh, bebe, bebe. see, it works. you can't help but love
Bordeaux,
it.
Bordeaux, fuck you.
Yeah, what the hell? Go back to France.
Or stay there.
Yeah,
stay there.
Call them frogs, right? That's what we call them. Is that because they eat frogs?
I don't know. Is it just because the fra and frog? I thought it was more like
it's
that.
Probably it's probably more like simple. It's more simpleton than that they eat
There's
frogs.
There's no way we're that put together. Yeah, like, no. Well, let's pick something from their distinctive cuisine and make the thing about that. Yeah,
no.
There's no way. We're just like fucking French frogs.
Yeah, yeah. And guess what? They have nothing. They're like, oh, okay, cowboy. I'm like, oh, one of the greatest mythical types of people that ever existed.
Mythical.
Yeah, cowboys are basically mythical.
Yeah, they're basically like dragons and unicorns.
Yeah, it's like incredible to have cowboys as your national icon.
A French person insulting you is like a baby who can't talk.
It's like, okay, musketeer.
Yeah.
Have fun with that.
Okay, patriot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is your great revenge going to be becoming wealthy? Count of Monte Cristo, congratulations. Yeah,
like, and eating really, really good food. And by the way, having beautiful women. Just beautiful.
And it's just a lovely countryside. And everything about it is great.
Paris is magnificent.
It's just wonderful.
The architecture and just everything about
fucking
it.
Fucking frogs.
The Louvre. It is great. Yeah.
Bastards. Anyway, is this Aram Zobian guy? Is he French? Can we shit all over him?
I'm going to tell you right now what he is. He is from the United States of America. He lives in Cranston, Rhode Island.
You're not supposed to say shit like that. There's a city in Rhode Island that's not Providence. I thought it was just one city. I thought it was like a city state.
That's
like,
a classic
like,
you thing.
Like Athens.
Athens, you say?
Yeah, like it used to be a city state. Now it's just a city in Greece, but it was a city state.
Oh, I thought you meant like Athens, Georgia.
Why would I talk about Athens, Georgia? We already talked about France. It's enough.
It's enough
with that. Okay, so
okay, you're right. You're right, and I'm wrong.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, you know what we're gonna play? Aram Zobian. Like, how much money has he won, man?
Aram Zobian. I have no idea who this dude is, other than he's playing. This is what a 10K buy-in.
Yeah, there's no way you're ever gonna get the answer, so don't try. But I will say this:
Why not try? I'm magical at this game. Why not try?
Okay.
So this is a 10K event. Is that right?
This is a 10K.
I'm going to go with he has $880,000 in Hendon.
Yeah, that's way the fuck off.
He has $4 in Hendon.
He's got over $4 million in
Hendon.
All right, I'm not going to say it.
I'm an anti-Rhode Island
guy. He actually has at least one incredibly notable thing on his resume where we might have known who he was based on it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he finished fifth in the 2018 World Series of Poker main event for $1.8 million.
Huh, I totally just didn't recognize that.
Yeah, tell me about it. I'm like, who won in 2018?
2018.
John Sin.
Yeah, John Sin.
Ah, he finished sixth. Excuse me, Joe Catta finished fifth. That's why. It's because we were really focused on Joe Catta and Labatt, who had finaled tabled again.
It's not Labatt. That's the name of a beer.
Labatt.
I don't think that's his name.
Antoine. It's Sabat, but it says Labat, but it is Sabat.
It's just because it's French and they're like, whatever, just put it at Lud.
No one cares.
The French people can't do shit about it.
That's when Johnson won and Tony Miles finished second and accused Johnson of slow rolling him. That was absurd. Anyway.
All right, so we've got five left in this 10K. It's a PGT, which is like a Poker Go Tour thing.
That is exactly what it is.
What is the situation financially, Jonathan Levy?
You know what? I'm going to tell you that. How many players are left?
Five. I just told you five. Jesus.
Well, now I'm going to tell you the rest of it. So they've all locked up $40,000. There are only 50 entries in this
thing.
$10,000 jump from fifth to fourth.
Okay.
$70K for third, $105 for second, and $165,000 for first. So, you know.
Yeah.
It's just about playing good poker, man.
It's like playing daily noon at your local, wherever you play poker, except it's a 10K and both Foxens are involved.
Yeah, it's sort of like that.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. Okay, that's fine. We can go with that.
Let's go with that.
We're going with it.
All right.
Daniel Negreanu is still at the table.
He is. Both Foxens are still there. Daniel Negreanu is there. Somebody named Laskowitz,
Samuel Laskowitz. He's from the United States.
We got all Americans. It's an all American final table.
Except for Daniel Negreanu, Kristen Foxen, and Masashi Oya.
Who is no longer there. I mean.
You said final table.
Fine. I meant final five.
Okay. So Daniel Negreanu, Kristen Foxen, not American.
Negreanu is basically. He lives in Las Vegas. Come on. Give me a break.
He was born and raised in Canada. So was Kristen Foxen. They have a connection, Canadian connection. Which is what they say every time they see each other.
I did not know that Kristen Foxen was Canadian.
I didn't either until just now.
Just lost a little respect for her. Yeah. Obviously, it's not as bad as being French.
She lives in Las Vegas, too. Now.
What a surprise. All right.
All right.
So Zobian,
yep.
Mr. Sixth Place over here, he already beat that. He's in fifth right now. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Actually, he's not in fifth. He's got more chips than both Foxens.
Okay. So he's like in second or first.
He's in third.
Or third.
One of the other ones.
I was going to get to it.
All right, we're at 10K, 20K.
Okay.
Folds to him in the small blind. He has about 1.4 million, just under.
Okay.
And the big blind is Kristen Foxen with almost 1.1 million. So we're pretty deep. Effective stack over 50 bigs.
Mm-hmm.
Zobian has Jack 7 off. What's your move, Jonathan?
Are there any very short stacks?
No. No, the Foxens are the shortest stacks.
Okay.
Alex is the shortest stack at the table with 875, so over 40 bigs.
Got it. Mostly, I'm just completing with Jack 7 off here.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not a great hand to raise. You could actually fold if you really wanted to.
That's probably, against players this good, it's probably too weak to be doing that.
To fold?
Yeah.
But, I mean, now we have to play Jack 7 off out of position against Kristen fucking Foxen. It's not great.
It's probably better to raise then.
But I think folding is actually okay, but the fact is we can put out one 10K chip and we're getting like 5-1 to do it, right? So we're not really folding.
So if this scenario happens
over
and over and over again, what is your range that you're actually playing if you're going to fold Jack 7?
That's a good question. I would only be folding Jack 7 if I thought Kristen was going to push me around, you know, if she was going to like raise a lot when I complete. If she's raising like 60% of the time, I'd probably just throw Jack 7 away.
Well, it's pretty easy to combat that, just have some limp raises, you know?
Of course. Sorry, I don't even know what the question was anymore.
What if you were folding? You don't have to answer it because if you were folding Jack 7, which I don't think you really are.
I'm probably not. I probably am calling it as opposed to raising. Are you raising?
I think raising is better. It's not a hand that plays well post flop, really.
Isn't that a reason to not raise?
No, it's a reason to try to win now, but it's too strong to fold.
Okay. I think it's okay just to call and be like, it's a medium hand. I'm putting a tiny bit of money in, and let's see if we can see a flop super cheap. And
I mean, when we raise, we get fold equity. We get to win more on the flop. It's not a hand that flops that well. We can just play board textures. It's fine.
Of course. I mean, certainly that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
I would love this hand to have a little more something going for it. Just feels like it's got so, even Jack 8 has just got so much more going.
It feels like you're saying something that was maybe in a book about poker in 1965, which is like, if you have a better hand is the hands that you raise and worse hands are the hands that you call with. And then the worst hands are the ones you fold.
Yeah.
Like
it does kind of sound like
that. Yeah, it does.
That's fair. Especially I would assume if I'm Zobian that I know that Kristen Foxen is better than me. And so does she. I would also look around and say, Alex Foxen's at this table. Daniel Negreanu's at this table. I should up the variance, not lower the variance here, right?
Sure.
So with that in mind, I think a raise makes perfect sense.
I think a raise makes sense no matter what. At 50 blinds effective.
Okay.
The hand's too strong. Small to big, I like to raise big. I think it's a perfectly good play.
Okay.
That's what he does. He goes for 80K, 4X is it.
It's a little much. I'd go 70. But anyway.
You just hate Zobian.
Yeah, what is this guy doing?
You're anti-Zobian.
Why?
Anti-Zobian does sound like a real thing, you know?
Anti-Zobian, yeah. Yeah. It does. It sounds bad.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. You don't want to be anti-Zobian.
You don't want to be branded anti-Zobian.
No, it's like, that guy was going to be on the political ticket, but then we found some anti-Zobian rhetoric yeah, exactly. in his tweet history. we can't be having him on the ticket. All right, so Foxen, yep. Kristen Foxen, has ace-queen off in the big blind. Ace of clubs, queen of hearts.
Okay, here we go.
There are obviously two ways you can go with this. What is your thought process?
I think if I'm Kristen Foxen, meaning I'm better than this guy, I want to use my post-flop skills. I want to lean into my post-flop skills a bit.
Forget that for a second and assume a neutral situation.
Okay. Everything's normal. Okay.
Assume you're Jonathan Levy. At a final table where, like, the player you're against seems pretty good, but you don't really know how good they are compared to you. Yeah.
And are they? How often are they raising in this spot? Do we have any sense of that? Any sense of the frequencies?
No sense.
Because if they're raising a lot, then I really like a 3-bet for sure.
Because you think they're more likely to 4-bet because they think that you've just had it?
Not necessarily, but it means that they're going to have they have a weaker range, which is good. They also are probably going to have a few more calls if they feel like I'm, like, I think they're going to call with reasonable hands that I'm dominating a lot.
Yeah, sometimes. But that's going to be true no matter if they're raising a lot or not.
That is a fair point. 50 blinds effective. I actually like a lot. I like calling here a lot too. Like, I think, like, it's cool. We're a little under-repped. We don't have to. It's not like the pot is humongous anyway. We get to play in position.
Being in position is a huge deal for that.
Yeah, and we're negating some of our positional advantage by putting in a 3-bet here if the guy doesn't fold.
Yeah, I mean, it's not so bad if we put in the 3-bet and he calls, but players at this level, he's likely uncapped. If he calls, he could have, like, really good hands.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I feel like I personally lean towards calls here more than 3-bets with ace-queen at this stack depth, unless the guy is, just a total crazy.
Does that change if he 2.5x'd it versus 4x'ing it?
That's a good question. I would be more inclined to, I think, put in the 3-bet with a smaller raise size.
I agree, and I think my main reason for that is that I think he's going to have more 4-bet bluffs when he starts with a smaller raise size than when he starts with 4x.
Like, we just can't ever fold this hand if we decide to 3-bet. Right?
No,
it's just,
I agree.
Like, way too good. We're just going to have to live with it.
Right, and we would love him to have more bluffs be part of his range, so when he opens smaller, I think he's more likely to have more bluffs, so it's good if he puts in a 4-bet and folds. That's great. That's a great
result. That would be amazing.
Result. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be real, real good.
Yeah, but I'm totally cool with just calling because we're heads up and in position, and like, being under repped is pretty sweet.
Yep.
I like all these things. So that's, I like all those things. That's what she does. She does it.
And we do keep all the aces, all the dominated aces are going nowhere. Like, ace 7 off now can't find a fold over in the 3-bet, which is kind of great.
Right, maybe we get the miracle ace high flop and get a couple streets.
Yep.
Sounds good. 180K in the pot now. Oh, no, Kristen, it's jack 3-4.
What? Well, you know,
should have raised.
Maybe we can spike the card. Like, there's just some, like, good turn cards
just like
for us.
Every amateur in every poker room ever. I should have raised on the flop when I had a hand that I was never ever going to raise on the flop, but I happen to be ahead now that I've seen showdown.
You know what also I always like is the someone bets the river and the other guy's like, I play so bad because they slow played something.
Yeah.
I play so bad. I mean, maybe they do, but probably not for the reason that they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, just it didn't work out this time is all they're really saying, right? Anyway, so Kristen obviously doing that too.
Of course, she's whining about it all the time. Anyway, jack 3-4, two diamonds.
Okay.
It's pretty dry. I mean, there's two diamonds. There's some straight draws available, although when it's a 4X pre, neither player has that many of the straight draws, maybe the ace wheels more likely than the 5-6s and stuff like that, 5-7s. Mm-hmm. Zobian decides to check, which I think is a pretty interesting decision.
I'm surprised.
I think he's got, as the French would say, laissez-faire to bet on this board.
I mean, it's weird because I think a lot of Kristen's calling range on preflop, she called a 4X, is probably continuing a lot on this board. That's good. We can get value. We can get actual value with top pair here. This is pretty cool, right?
Right, and it's a board that we are kind of expected to continue on. It's pretty dry.
It's pretty fucking dry.
Yeah.
It's not like it's jack 10, 3, 2 diamonds. That's really different, right?
Yeah, like, I expect at least like a 50K bet. You could go pretty small, you know?
Yeah, but, like, I think we should be starting to get value right now. It's also, as you said, expected.
Yeah.
So I think we should do the thing that's expected when we flop this well.
I'm guessing that if Zobian is entering these types of events, that he has a strategy for these spots, and this is a flop that he's, for whatever reason that this stacked up, deciding to check with pretty much all of his range.
It's possible that it may be that. It may also be that he's betting this, he's mixing with you know, the weaker top pairs, and because he has the jack of diamonds on the jack 3-4, two diamonds, he's less inclined to bet because Kristen has less diamond combos. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe he's looking to check raise. Do you think it's possible that he thinks...
That seems terrible.
Yeah, I mean...
Doesn't that seem really bad to check raise?
It does, but maybe he thinks that Kristen has a lot of stabs on this board when it's so dry and he kind of waves the white flag.
I'm not saying he isn't looking for her to bet, but check raise versus check call feels like... Like, yeah. When we check raise and she doesn't fold, we've strengthened her range pretty dramatically, right?
Well, then we can play accordingly.
It's cool. So we get to fold later? We get to check fold on
turns and rivers? No, we bluff her. We bluff her with top pair.
You're going to get her off that king jack. I don't know. It seems to me like if we're going to check, it should be a check call, not a check raise most of the time, if not all the time.
Yeah, just like from a meta perspective, throwing some check raises against a player like Kristen Bicknell. Maybe this isn't the hand for it, but I don't know what is the hand then.
I mean, I think, you know, 5-7 suited is a good hand, not of diamonds, but 5-7.
What about
hearts.
Hands that can actually win at showdown? Like, we need some of those.
Oh, okay. Well, jacks with a really good kicker. How about that? Like, king jack as like maybe a starting point?
How about queen jack? Let's come on. Spread your wings.
But like, if she has a jack, she often has a better jack because she probably didn't call with jack six. She got jack six suited, but no jack six offs, right?
Probably not.
Like, but she has jack 10 off, queen jack off, king jack off, maybe jack nine off. Probably jack nine off. So like, those are all hands that are beating us. And the based on this board, jack 3-4, those kickers are going to play a lot, man. Like a lot. So I don't know why we'd want to like inflate the pot out of position against a great player with this sort of very middling hand. We're over-repping our hand.
I prefer
now.
A bet then if we're not going to.
Yeah, ever. I think it's a bet.
Anyway, he checks.
Okay.
What do you think Kristen should do? She's got a hand that's maybe worth protecting with ace queen high, but it's not that frequent that he's going to just have a check fold when he opens 4X pre.
For sure, but she actually can get value by betting, too.
I guess you could have some weaker ace highs, maybe some king-queen type hands that will continue.
I mean, if he has ace-10, I doubt he's checking to fold.
Right.
Unless she bets really big, which she wouldn't, right? She could just bet a normal amount. That also lets her keep control of the pot. But she could also check back and bluff catch and see what develops, and that's fine, too. There's actually a lot of good cards for her on the turn. Any ace, king, queen, deuce or five gives her either a pair or a straight draw, you know? 10 also. Like, there's a lot of cards that make her interested.
Yeah.
So she can get there for free if she wants. When he checks, if I were her, I'd believe I had the best hand almost all the time. I would think I usually have the best hand, right? I guess he could have like ace four or 5-4 suited or something.
Pocket pair between the four and the jack.
I guess. But usually the small pocket pairs are going to bet just to deny equity, right? Even the four is usually going to bet. But we are blind versus blind, so it's a little bit wonkier.
You got to get tricky against the Foxen.
Yeah. Which is like maybe also that's part of what he's doing, right? He's like, I just can't do the normal things against Kristen fucking Foxen out of position. I just can't do that.
Yeah.
So I just have to make it so I'm never playing face up against her. I'm rarely playing face up against her, right? So it's harder for her to figure out what the hell's going on. That's a good reason to check instead of bet.
Anyway, she checks back.
Okay. That's perfectly fine.
She's super under-rep the whole way.
Yep. If I'm her, I'm like, I probably have the best hand. I have lots of good cards on the turn, blah, blah, blah.
She gets one of them. It's the 10 of clubs. It's a pretty good card. She now has a gut shot to Broadway.
Yep.
Zobian can't let this stand. He can't continue to play this game, can he?
I mean, he could, but it's okay to bet, too.
Let me ask you a quick question. Let's see how you feel about this.
Okay.
Now that he's gotten the check on the flop, is this a reasonable time to go for a check raise?
Interesting question.
I'm always looking for a check raise.
Okay. This is a much more reasonable time to go for it. If she bets, she's going to have a bunch of straight draws and tens, right? Mostly. She may call the check raise with those hands.
It's a draw-heavy board.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting. We are now upping the variance wildly here there's five
that's
left.
That's fine. The next jump is one buy-in. Yes. Everybody's got the same stacks. We're the worst or second worst player at the table.
And first place isn't like $10 million. It's $160K, which while not nothing, you know, even Zobian's got, what was it, like $5 million in earnings or something, right? So like, you know, it's like you said, it's like a quaint little tournament for these guys.
Right.
So I kind of like it. I like that. That's a cool idea. What do you think?
Yeah, I will take everything that you said except for that it's a quaint little tournament for these guys. That shouldn't matter. Like, that type of thing shouldn't really matter.
I mean, if first place was $10 million...
You often go to these places where you're saying the amount of money that's being paid out.
Players play differently at the different stakes.
I see. Yes. So if your opponent is going to play differently, but you should not play differently. But it's kind of like a cascading effect where you expect your opponent to play differently, so you play differently.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. So and you're because they expect you to play differently too, right?
Right.
So they're going to play you in a particular way as well. It just you put yourself. It's things just change.
Right.
And the guy who's playing like a maniac when everyone else tightens up, often does really well or is out right away, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why a lot of people don't play like the maniac because they don't want to be out next when the really big money's
in play. Just be Joe McKeehan, be the maniac and win anyway.
I mean...
That worked.
He wasn't really a maniac. He just opened a lot.
But he didn't have to. Maybe he would have been a maniac if given the opportunity, but nobody ever fought back.
He pot controlled like crazy post-flop the way.
Yeah, true.
He just was like, I have middle pair. I'm 100% just fucking chilling with this hand. I remember he got it in with like, I think it was like ace jack against ace jack on a jack high board on the river where the opponent like went like bet, bet, shove after three betting him. And Joe like fought forever on the river, finally calls, they chop, and he says, wow, we play really differently.
Yeah.
Implying like, I never would have put in the fucking huge river bet with just one pair in this spot, you know?
Yeah.
And I sort of can't believe anyone else is doing it either, you know? So thought that was interesting.
Anyway, I think a check raise is pretty cool here.
I do too. It's really, I mean, it's so hard to put you on anything except a hand like king, queen, queen nine, stuff like that is what you'd be assuming is the check raise.
Right.
I guess 10-10 once in a while.
And if it goes check, check, we can go for big value on the river, and it's still a story that doesn't make much sense.
Yep. As long as a really bad card doesn't come.
Right. Yeah. If no overcard comes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, Zobian decides to bet, which is also a reasonable decision.
Totally fine.
He bets 105 into 180.
Fine. We think we're getting a lot of folds here, right?
Yep. And sometimes we're lucky and she has a 10.
Yep.
We'll get a call.
Yep. Or a draw. She could have like just a lot of straight draws.
And she does have a draw with two overs. Decides to make the call. Any argument for raising?
I don't think it's a great argument to raise. Like, what story are we really telling when we raise? What do we have? We have like 3-10 suited, 4-10 suited. I can't think of any other hand we could raise for value.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe we could have flopped a set of threes or fours, checked back the flop, and be raising the turn, I guess.
We can probably have turned a set of tens based on how Foxen has played it with ace-queen.
Maybe. Tens are better than ace-queen pre-flop. You're more likely to see tens be a three-bet, I think.
Really?
But
you think so?
I think so, but they're not that far apart, for sure. Yeah, I guess she can have a few sets of tens, but I wouldn't really think she had ace-queen either. Right?
Yeah.
I believe king-queen much more than ace-queen.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There's not too much value she can have.
So it's bad to try to rep it when you just have ace-high.
I think it's a bad idea. And we can have the best hand. Like, he can have picked up a draw. He either has a 10 or a draw most of the time, right? When he bets now.
Yep.
So, like, cool. Like, we have the best hand sometimes. We have outs against some of the 10s or the 10s.
So she calls.
And we can make the nuts, too.
Calls.
I like a call.
Me, too. 390 in the pot.
Okay.
Jack of hearts, three of diamonds, four of diamonds, 10 of clubs, 8 of spades.
Okay.
8 of spades river.
Yeah.
Should Zobian go for value? He would be targeting a 10.
For sure. He's either targeting a 10 or like 8-9.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah.
Maybe queen 8.
Yep, maybe. Queen 8 suited, I guess.
7-8 suited, perhaps.
I don't even know if that's calling.
Yeah, hard to say.
Anyway, but certainly 9-8 is calling, and like you said, a 10 is the thing.
A 10 is the real thing.
I think we should 100% bet. Like, it's possible if we check, a 10's going to bet for value anyway. But, like, a bad 10 probably checks back. Probably.
Yeah, I think a 10 might check back.
A good 10's betting. Like, king 10's probably betting if we check, I think.
Probably.
Like, it's got to think it's the best hand. I would think that.
I think it's close.
Okay. But, like, but there you go. Like, so it's close, and then, so a bad 10's checking back, right?
Yeah.
We should bet to get value from all the bad 10s. And maybe get heroed by, like, an 8, because we can have king-queen kind of a thing.
What do you think about his sizing? It goes 195 into 390.
It's going half pot, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
What I think about his sizing, I love the precision of the fact that it's exactly 50%.
It's classic Zobian.
Oh, I'm not anti-Zobian right now.
No.
I'm pro.
Yeah.
Ish. Anyway, so I think a 10 is probably going to have to call for 195, and that's what we're targeting. So I guess I like the sizing. I think it's good. What do you think?
I think you're right. I think a 10 will probably call.
An 8 can hero at that size and be like, well, it's not too bad anyway. Like, it's not the end of the world to be wrong.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, it's a breakdown.
So something non-standard is going to happen, I guess.
And it's not a call, which would be non-standard.
That would be non-standard. A fold would be standard.
Kristen Foxen raises to 700K.
Of course she does.
Yeah. So it's pretty obvious what's going on here.
It is.
She could easily have queen nine.
She
could easily have 7-9 suited.
The story of queen nine is just staring her in the face.
Yeah,
right?
And she has a queen in her hand, so she blocks queen nine.
Exactly. And his version of queen nine, I guess he can have queen nine too, but you assume he's mostly betting queen nine on the flop, right?
Yeah.
Instead of just being, I mean, once in a while he may have a check give up, but like since he has the backdoor straight at least with that and an over, he's probably betting that a lot.
Yep.
So, yeah, it seems very straightforward. She's like, you have like ace 10, right?
Yeah.
So being like, I can absolutely have queen nine or a monster or have rivered something lucky, two pair or whatever.
She
like,
could have a weird slow played jack 10 potentially.
She could. She could have that. She could have a weird slow played pocket threes too,
yeah,
once in a while. As Zobian, we have to come up, what did she call with that she's turning into a bluff? Because that's all we can beat now.
Ace-queen makes sense.
King-queen makes more sense.
King-queen and ace-queen both make sense, but they both are potential three bets preflop.
Yeah, exactly. And I would almost discount ace-queen if I was sitting in his seat.
Yeah.
Because we're like, what, five-handed and shit.
Yeah.
Like, you just think like, I know it's blind versus blind anyway, but still, I would just be like, she's mostly three-betting ace-queen. Come on. Right? So... And like you said, king queen also a three bet sometimes. Queen nine, mostly a call, if not entirely a call. So her story is really good.
Yes, she could absolutely have the nuts here. And she could also have 7-9 suited sometimes.
Yeah, I think she could. Especially, I think so. He's not going for polarizing sizing. So if he went really big on the river, I think she just would call with 7-9. Mm. But he didn't. So 7-9 can be part of her range here too.
All right. So how should Zobian respond? Which is basically to say, obviously, he's moving in with the nuts.
Of course.
But where do the calls start?
Great question.
Obviously, he calls if he has 7-9.
Well, we'd love to have... Okay, yeah. He's calling with 7-9 for sure. 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
That's an easy one. Would we rather... Let's start asking the would you rather game, okay? Okay. Would you rather have queen jack or pocket eights?
Queen jack.
Because she's really repping a straight here.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like Jack Nine's even better than Queen Jack.
Right? I guess she could have, like you said, a slow played set of threes or a weirdly played Jack 10, but those are less likely.
Maybe she could, though, because we didn't bet that much on the river.
Maybe Queen Jack and a set of eights are kind of similar.
Yeah.
They're like in the same zone.
We're probably just calling with both, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Like, if we have Jack Nine or Queen Jack, we're calling. If we have a set, we're fucking calling. If we have Jack 10, we're calling, right? Because we bet 195 on the river, and maybe she made Jack 8 on the river, or 10-8 on the river, and is going for thin value.
And we are calling with Queen 10 over King Jack, right? Because King Jack is really bad to have, and Queen 10 is good to have.
Yes. And 10-9 is the same thing.
Yeah.
10-9 is way better, because we just don't believe she's ever raising a solid.
We're folding pretty much any hand with a king in it, I think.
Right. Right.
So... a lot of these have the blockers that we want. We almost kind of have that. We block 7-9.
Block 7-9, but we'd so much rather have Jack 9. So, and yeah.
Yeah.
7-9 is like, does she, I mean, 7-9, she called the turn with 7-9. Unless it's diamonds, it's not even really. Like, really, she called with a gutter to the unders to two cards. And
She might,
but.
She's going to have, he checked the flop. She's going to bluff the river with that hand a lot. You know, she could definitely have that hand.
Maybe, okay. But like queen nine just makes so much more sense for her.
Yeah,
right?
It does.
Like it's such a comfortable call on the turn. She's like, I can hit a queen, I can hit a king.
So
I can
what
hit
you're saying is
nine.
You think the seven blocker is almost meaningless?
I think it's not that great, yeah.
Okay.
I would discount it tremendously. Yes, it's almost meaningless.
Okay, fair enough. It's not the seven of diamonds either, which would be the most meaningful of the sevens, would be the seven of diamonds.
Right, right.
Okay. So if that's the case, then we just have to figure out if we're calling with some top pairs that aren't bad blockers. Like King Jack is bad because we block King
right.
Queen. We don't want that.
Right.
Jack 7 is in no way bad. It's just...
Right.
Yeah. But
that's
like,
true.
So which ones are we calling with?
Well, are we calling with Ace Jack? Since we're calling with our set of eights and we're calling with Jack... I've unusually played Jack 10, but possibly... Since we checked Jack 7, we can have it, I guess. Jack 10. Ace Jack. Let's start there. Ace Jack... with or without the ace of diamonds?
Well, I would not like to have the ace of diamonds.
Right. Just like you wouldn't want to have the seven of diamonds.
Right. Well,
Well, you want to have a seven, yeah, but you don't want to have a seven of diamonds. The diamond is probably better to not have than the seven is to have. But that's a different... Let's talk about ace jack.
Okay.
Sorry. Ace jack without ace a jack diamond.
Ace jack is a really close one. I just don't... I think it's a fold.
I do too.
I think you got to fold. Because there are some straight draws, like the one she has, that you do block, you know, and that's not good.
Right. Yep. That makes sense. It's really just ace queen and ace king.
Yeah. But
and again, we could talk ourselves into she barely has any of that.
Yeah.
So, but it does block a little bit of
it. It's something.
It's yeah.
It's a way to make a decision.
Fair enough. I think I just wonder if it's just strong enough anyway. Like one pair, you have to have a really good reason to call a raise on the river with one pair.
Yeah.
You know. And I don't know that we have a good enough reason here.
I'd rather have jack seven than ace jack if I'm going to pick between the two.
She called the turn when we bet. It's hard for her to have. There's just aren't that many hands she can have that are bluffs now that she called the turn with and now is raising as a bluff. Like
right, but she's Kristen Foxen. So.
Right. No, she can do it more than most, but it still is a bit of a parlay.
It is. But let's just find out our delineation still. Because yeah. I'm saying no to ace jack. I'm saying jack seven is better than ace jack.
Because at least you block
at least in
7-9.
The in the case that she could have 7-9, at least you block it.
Right, and then you're an ace you don't want to have an ace in your hand.
Aces
that way at least it gives her some ace queen.
An ace is a categorically bad card to have in your hand, even if it doesn't come up that often. It still is categorically bad.
And a seven is good to have in your hand, even though that doesn't come up very often. So it's like on the edges, but
yeah.
And she's not raising one pair anyway, right?
Right.
So the jacks all play the same themselves. So now we just will take something that's seven has got to be better than an ace.
Yep.
That's totally reasonable.
Yep. So, jack seven is the next jack to call with after jack nine and queen jack.
Right.
So is that a call or not?
Does it matter the way the jack of diamonds in our hand? It probably doesn't, right? Because there's a jack on the board.
I think not.
Yeah. I think not. Okay.
It just comes down to your assessment of her bluff frequency at this point. Because if we're just calling with all of the like distribution value that's just like, this is just too good of a hand to fold, which includes most two pairs and sets and stuff like that, then maybe like if we're not calling with jack seven, then we're only calling with queen jack and jack nine for one pair hands, which maybe is okay. And maybe we call with 10-9 too.
We're not betting that many hands for value on the river.
Right. We're probably not betting 10-9 on the river now that I think about it.
No, I think we're betting like ace 10 and maybe king 10 on the river.
Right, so 10-9 is no longer a consideration.
Right.
As far as our distribution.
Right. And we don't like how, and we're folding those, we're folding the 10s.
Yeah.
I think, and maybe queen 10, I guess we could consider calling
I think,
queen 10.
Yeah, queen 10 is a better hand to call with than jack 7.
Right, but we might check call that anyway and not even bet it.
Right.
I'm not
right.
sure if we're betting queen
we
10.
We might not bet queen 10. Yeah.
It's close. And then after that, like we're sort of up to our really terrible jacks.
Yeah.
Which maybe we can have all the terrible jacks because
those are better than ace jack at least.
Yeah.
But they're not as good as jack seven.
I don't know. We open jack seven. Are we opening jack five off to 4x or are we just folding that? I'm not sure what we're
doing. I don't know. Jack seven might be the bottom of the range here.
Right. Because we can at least make a straight.
Yeah.
Right. Like things can happen. It's a bigger, seven's an okay card to have in your hand. Jack five off is terrible.
It's an awful hand.
Do you think you just fold it?
Yeah, I think so. Jack six off too.
Yeah. Okay. So with all that said, it sounds to me like if we're saying we can have sets of eights, have a little bit of jack 10, we can have queen nine ourselves.
Yeah.
For sure. We can have, is there anything else I guess we can have 7-9.
Yep.
We can have checked. Now we're betting our gutter. We got there. We bet it.
Yep.
That's possible.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can have queen jack.
We can have queen jack and have checked and went bet. Yep. Absolutely.
And
we obviously can have jack nine and do that.
Yep.
You know that?
Yep.
That feels like a lot of stuff. I don't think we need to keep jack seven.
Yeah, I think we can fold jack seven based on that.
Okay. So the only one pair of hands we're calling with are the ones with the best blockers.
Yeah. Jack nine being the best of them.
Yep. Okay. Last question. We have jack nine, but the nine's the nine of diamonds.
Still going.
Still call for sure. Yeah.
The,
I agree.
Jack nine is the best blocker hand.
Yep. Yeah, I think the queen of diamonds, same thing. It's still a call.
Yeah.
Like, cool, we blocked the diamond. She could have bet. She's mostly betting diamond draws on the flop anyway. Obviously not always, but mostly.
So he ends up folding.
Yep, that seems right.
Nice play by Foxen, and we think it's a good fold by Zobian despite him getting just wrecked in half.
It's wild because she raises most of her stack. She, like, puts her whole turn on the line.
Yeah.
And she's like, I hope he doesn't actually have 7-9 or queen 9. It's really going to suck.
Yep. But it worked out.
This is how you win tournaments, right?
Did she win this?
She did.
Good for her.
She absolutely finished first. Zobian finished fourth. Daniel Negreanu finished second. Heads up against Kristen Fox, and it wasn't good enough.
All Canada, though. All Canada.
Yep. Oh, Canada.
I knew how to play that on the saxophone in fourth grade.
How does the song start at the beginning of the podcast? Is it just you? Oh, right. A satellite. Or is it?
No, it's like, oh, Canada.
Because we're reversing. I feel like you're not. Also, did we shoot the shit? We're supposed to shoot the shit backwards now.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about movies.
Movies talk us about they.
That's probably a good place to stop.
Sunlight. All I need is one light. Hey. First time, no rehearsal. I say fuck the second take. Night is baby scratching them vinyls until the record breaks. Mr. One Night is all I need. No second dates. I'm the rapper most likely to...